Well, you know, our MC has really said it all. We need to be proud of our heritage. It's unfortunate that some people are not proud of who they are. Some people are not proud of what makes them who they are. But we should be proud, because the scripture says very clearly that God was the one that determined where we were born, that he determined the boundaries of nations. He put us in different nations. So he put me where I came from. I didn't have a choice, so he put me where I came from. And so I must understand that if I came from somewhere, that's God's way for me. And I should accept it with joy. I don't want to be Mr. Brownwater when God has put me where my name is Emmanuel. Where my name is Chinedu Emmanuel. So you need to really understand that God put you where you are. God placed you there. That's where God designed that you come to this earth through. And so you must accept it as the best thing for you, because you can't have a better choice than the choice that God has made for you. And I want to encourage us to stop being square peg in round hole. There's no how you pretend to be American that you are really American. Stop pretending. Just stop what? Pretending. God didn't make you to be that. So it's just like trying to squeeze yourself into what is not your mold. We look so out of place doing that kind of thing. When I was coming here, one man called me in Lagos. He said, when you go to America, don't try to be American. Be yourself. He said, I lived in London many years, and it's so embarrassing to see Africans trying to be white people. It is very embarrassing, really. So we should be ourselves. You are your best when you are in the mold that God has made you. You're your best. And then some of you just don't want your children to be who God made them. That's not a good foundation to give your children. It's good for your children to grow in the culture where they live. It's good for them to speak well, because this is why they go for job interviews. And they want to hire you because you speak the language that the customers can understand. But on the other hand, there are very positive things about you that distinguishes you that you need to pass on to your children. We have respect for elders. We live in community. We value family. Your brother can visit you without calling you ahead of time. You know, and we share things. So when we have burdens and personal issues, these things are easily resolved, because you have your brothers, your sisters, and things that can speak into that and get family things resolved. But when you isolate yourself, isolation is dangerous. Because when you isolate yourself, you are a very cheap prey to whatever you are facing. Amen? Amen. So we should value those things that we do. Let your children know that where they come from. Visit your friends, I mean your family members, and take them along. And let them see how it works. I remember I told you here how somebody told me that the son had some friends that came. And they were saying to their father, hi. He said, no, we don't say hi here. So you don't say to my father, hi here. So we don't say it here. So what do you say? We say, good morning, sir. That's what the young boy was teaching his friends. And they never had it before. So they got excited. They lined up, said, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir, all of them. Good morning, sir. They never had it before. But this young man was saying, no, you don't change my identity. From that age, he knows who he is. When he goes to college, he will fight for who he is. It's because of this lack of identity that our children are easily tipped over. They want to belong. You go and try it on Indians and see how far they listen to you. Try it on Arabs. I don't see any of these people who want to be all these things we are craving for. The Indian will go to school with his food. He wouldn't even buy McDonald's. He will carry his food, and he's full of spices. I'm telling you, you can't shift these people. But because of lack of confidence in who we are, we yield to just about anything and look really odd and weird, whatever. Out of all that kind of junk. Look at your skin, the best skin you can have. You can't beat black skin. Black is always beautiful. You don't need to tan it. It is naturally tanned. Why are you not proud of it? Our women, to do your hair as an African is the cheapest thing. You don't need to spend $70,000 doing it. $70. Your sister can do it for you in 10 minutes. Tie your hair. Tell sister, sit down, tie your hair. And if your man is so cheap, $10, $5, your hair is off. You don't have to do all those kinds of things. I don't need any hair. All these things they rub on the hair, I don't know what the name is, they call that, but it saves me a lot of money. My barber takes 5 minutes, we are done. And when I want to shave, I just feel the thing and put razor blade down, feel the side, and I'm done. The only person I want to look happy for is my wife. And she's happy. If she's not happy, she hasn't told me. So we need to, look, what I'm telling you is serious. Don't destabilize your children. I'm telling you what you do. You do these things, it's funny. Pretty soon you lose them. And you say it's Satan. Don't destabilize your children. God that put them to come from there was the one that made the choice. And make sure that they are still appreciating where they came from. And use what God has given you there to bring up your children. Our food is very healthy. There's nothing wrong with our food. Eat your food. Cook your local food. If you marry a wife that doesn't know, tell a sister to teach her. So you don't get cholesterol. I'm telling you, our food is awesome. And there's a lot of it upstairs. I don't want to see you go through there now until I finish. There's a lot of it where? Upstairs. Immediately after this service, men, you have food all over that place. Go and eat them. It's very healthy. And if you add weight, cast it out. Doesn't matter. You're still okay. Praise the Lord. So that's about cultural Sunday because we're celebrating our culture. Our marriage in this church, we insist that we have to take what God has given us, that we came to America with, which works for, has worked for us for centuries. Marriage is not something you do at the gas station. Where we came from. Your mother must know. Your father must know. That's our culture. That's who we are. You can't come and tell me, Pastor, with me, because I'm in America and your mother doesn't know. I won't with you. I'm not going to do that. You are going to go back to who we are. I will force you to do that. Tell your father, tell your mom. They don't have to agree with you, but honor them. Because we respect family, we respect age, we respect elders. That's our culture. And I'm not about to give it up. We do it here with no apologies. So you got to tell them. And I'm going to call them myself. I said, Mama, did they tell you, is it a gas station wedding? No. So we honor that family. Marriage to us is between families. It's not individuals. And we know it is not unscriptural to do that. So why should we throw it out? It forms a good basis for a life that will live years to come. They won't tell you who to marry, but at least they should know you are married. Can I hear amen? Amen. So we have all those beautiful, beautiful things, and we should respect age. Respect age. If you are your family, respect the person that's senior to you. It helps a lot. We benefited a lot over the years through this practice. It has brought sanity to our families. Issues are easily resolved because brother said, everybody listens. We don't carry it and be talking. No, no, no. Once brother, the senior one has said, that's it. And it has helped us year after year. Honoring your father. When we are growing up, if your father is talking, you don't even come near them. Things have changed. Your grandchild will tell you, hey, grandpa, what are you talking about? That's okay. I mean, this is the year, that's the age. That's beautiful. But in all of that, let's teach them respect. Respect ensures orderliness. Did you hear me? Respect ensures what? Orderliness. Where there's no respect, there's disorder. Every man for himself. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't even know how many minutes is left for me. I've been talking about culture. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to talk to us about something that's really very important. And that's about the gospel. About preaching the gospel. Every Christian, every believer, you've heard this before. I'm telling you now, every believer has this sacred assignment to preach the gospel. We say to people, if you can't go, let your money what? It's not true. Everybody has to go. There's no verse in the Bible that says if you can't go, let somebody go. The commission to go preach the gospel was given to all believers. You may not go to India, you may not go to far countries, you can give money, but there's a place you too must go. There's a place you must go. All this, if you can't go, let your money go. No, your money will go and your leg will also go. There's a Jerusalem, there's your neighborhood, there's your place of work. There's somebody God is positioning around you that needs the gospel. And this is the most important thing that we need to do, is to preach the gospel. Because if people don't come to Jesus Christ, their eternal destination is hell. We must understand the seriousness of preaching the gospel. That's what some of the things we were discussing yesterday at the workers listening. Somebody was saying that if you know the seriousness and the importance of something committed into your hand, you'll be faithful to it. But because we don't understand the seriousness of the gospel, we don't understand how compelling it is on me and on you to make sure we preach it. And look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16. I'm reading New Living Translation. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16. Not verse 1, 16. Verse 16. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am what? Compelled. Come on, I want to hear you. I am what? Compelled. By who? By God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach this good news. This is the understanding of this man. This is how he understood this thing, this commission. He said it's God that is compelling. It is a sacred thing that God has committed into my heart. Say, how terrible if I don't. Do we have the same understanding as this man? Verse 17. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment, but I have no choice. I have no choice. Come on, say it with me. I have no choice. He said, I have no choice. For God has given me this sacred trust. I don't have any choice. He said, if I'm doing it in my own initiative, I can be negotiating reward for it. But there's no time for the reward system here. It's something that is compelling. It's something that God has entrusted. It's a sacred thing. And nothing could stop Paul. Even when he was in prison, when he was in difficulty, he said, preaching this gospel continues. Look at Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. 20. I'm in chains now. Yeah? I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I'll keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. I'm in chains now, but I'm still preaching it. He didn't stop and say, well, I'm no more preaching. God, you should have come to set me free. No. He said, this is something you don't stop doing. I'm compelled to do that. He said, woe is me if I don't do this. I'm in chains now. I have challenges now. I have difficulties now. I have situations that is not palatable now. But I'm still doing what? Preaching this gospel. Because he understands the compelling reason behind it. That God is the one that said, you must do this. I want you to do this. And he understands the need that if you don't preach this gospel, people will spend eternity in hell. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is no other truth. There is no other truth that sets a man free except the truth about Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other. I don't care what you conjure up. I don't care the all these kind of things that we conjure up and do. There's no salvation in any other. There is absolutely no salvation in any other. incantations, all these things that people conjure in their imaginations. There's no salvation in any other. There is only salvation in one person. And who is that? Jesus Christ. He's the only one that is the savior of the whole world. And there is nothing you can do to produce salvation for yourself except what Jesus did on the cross for you. That you spent all night being awake won't bring you salvation. Nothing a man can do will bring him salvation. Nothing. For if the Son shall set you free, then you are free indeed. It's the Son. It's the Lord Jesus. There is no other truth that will. When Jesus said, you shall know the truth, he's talking about himself. He was telling them, look, I came here. You people are rejecting me. I'm the truth of it all. The Bible said he brought us grace and truth. It's about him. He said the whole scripture is talking about me. I'm God's plan. God has no plan B. I'm God's executive plan for mankind to solve all the misery of mankind. That's Jesus. And so this message, Paul was defending it. Because once it's corrupted, he loses his power. Once it is corrupted, and there's a lot of corruption going on. Once the devil corrupts it, he loses his power. He ceases to be the true word of God. He ceases to be about Christ. So knowing this man said, I will defend this thing. Because if I allow it to be corrupted, it will not benefit anybody anymore. Look at what he says in Galatians 2:14. This is talking about the big guys in the church. Man, I'm not talking about full apostles. They were corrupting the gospel. Today, there's a lot of corruption of gospel going on. Even the apostles of old were corrupting the gospel. And Paul rose up and said, no, this is not the gospel that Jesus gave us. And these were the people who lived with Jesus himself. That will tell you how serious this is. Look at what he said in Galatians 2:14. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message. When I saw, who are they? Peter and the big guys. When I saw they were not following the truth of the gospel message, well, you know, I kept quiet and said, let the will of the Lord be done. When I saw it, I went and said, Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Is that what he did? He confronted it. He said, I said to Peter, in front of all others, this is not a joking matter. This is poison you are giving people, Peter. This is not going to save nobody. This will leave people in darkness. This will leave people under the influence of Satan. This will annul what Jesus did on the cross. Peter, this is dangerous. As in front of all of that, since you, a Jew, by bad, have discarded this Jewish system you are bringing, these Jewish laws, these things that... The burden that people put on people, the very burden that Jesus told the Jews, he said, you people put burden on people, you can't lift it to your finger. He said, all these things, all these Jewish laws, and you are now living like a Gentile. You have discarded this Moses thing. Now you are living like a Gentile without them. Why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish what? Traditions. Why? Why? You live faith in Christ. Now you are bringing all manner of things, demanding they must do this. They have to do this. If you don't do this, you have to do this. He said, why are you doing that? Continue. You and I are Jews by birth, and we are not sinners, so to say, like the Gentiles, verse 16. Yet we know. What do we know? That a person is made right by God by faith in who? Jesus Christ. Not by obeying the law. Because by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. He said it. And we believe, we have believed, Peter, Apostle Peter, you are corrupting the gospel. And I will defend this gospel. He said, and we have believed. What have we believed? We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with you, God, because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Let the church say amen. 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 That's the gospel. You can't change your life. You can't stop fornication.
You can't stop telling lies. If anybody tells you can stop, it's a lie. For you've tried before. Haven't you been tried? Since you became a Christian, have you not been trying? Have you not been struggling? Where did he lead us? All he led us is sweep things under the carpet. And come to church and pretend all is not well, my brother. Only Jesus. Only who? Jesus. I was telling the workers that God created man with some intrinsic qualities. Yes. So you see some people who are good. They're good. Basically good. But they are good until pressure is put on that goodness. Until challenges and the devil put pressure on it. That goodness will what? Crack. I heard of a brother who went to marry. And they said, bro, your wife has to stay with your mother. He said, you people think. He said, how can you even look at me like that? I don't do stuff like that. He said, a homie. He said, so this is the way you people take me. Eh? Oh, he started to cry. They said, bro, okay, so it's okay. So they left him with his wife. And it wasn't long, the result showed. So they went and said, bro. He said, you know, the spirit was willing, but my flesh was weak. Brother, let me tell us the thing. Don't toy with your flesh. The Bible said it is the flesh that stops us obeying the Lord of God. Read your scripture now. It said what the Lord could not do because of our what? Flesh. That God sent Jesus to do. The gospel is about Jesus. Jesus is the arm of the Lord. Jesus is the arm of the Lord. Jesus is the power of God. Jesus is the anointing of God. That God sent to you and to you and to you. To bring a dimension. To take care of what you couldn't take care of. That's who he is. That's who he is. When he came. Emmanuel. God has come. Why has God come? So that those things that are not possible with men. Will become what? Possible. He joined your spirit to his spirit. You become an alloy. A spiritual alloy. He that is with, believe in the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, is joined to Christ, they become one man. So that you can now do all things through the power that Jesus supplies you. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, we pray and say, Lord, give me grace and help me. I pray that. It's wonderful to pray that. I'm not mocking that at all. But how about saying, Lord, thank you for the strength already given. I can do what? All things now. And I expect to do it. Why? You give me the strength. The Lord is the strength what? Of my life. You give me the wisdom. The spirit of Christ is in me. This what? Is it not where you believe you see it work?
Yes.
I will ask for grace to do something. I pray that is good. But didn't the scripture say you have received abundance of what grace when Jesus himself, the fullness of divine grace, is living in you, joined to your spirit and operating with you. Don't you know you have abundance of grace? And God said to Paul, my grace is what? What I've given you is sufficient to deal with what? And who did he give us? The greater one. And the scripture says you have overcome them, no matter what, because of the greater one. And he says, sin shall not dominate you. Not because of your power. But because you are no more under the law, the grace of God has been given to you. The arm of the Lord is now operating in your life to will and to do his good pleasure. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The struggle has come to an end. The struggle is over. Only believe and you flourish like a palm tree. The struggle is over. Struggling with what? You say, I'm fighting with sin. Forget it. Jesus took sin on the cross and destroyed the power. And the Bible says he came to put away sin. He came to destroy all the works of the enemy. Which one of them have you believed? That's why it's not working for you. Because you won't believe it. You want ritual. Turn to this one 7 times. Do this one 10 times. And then turn around seven times. And give me the name of Jesus 4 times. 4 times. Fire. four times. Water, 10 times. Foolishness, all of it. Absolute rubbish. No scripture supports that. Jesus said, only believe. Jesus said what? Only believe in me. Those that trust in me, they will never be put. You don't need no further ritual once. You don't have, you don't need it. It's debunked. It's from Satan. They take away the completeness of Jesus. They take away the Son of God. How dare you? How dare you? God gave us Christ to make us complete. I don't need your ritual. I am complete in Christ. I have all I need. He's there. The greater one. The Son of the living God. Praise the Lord, church. So Paul was defending this thing. So you see, when the Galatians began to be deceived, buying into all this kind of nonsense, you have this Christ and this Christ. Paul said, you foolish Galatians, how did anybody bewitch you? How can you do this? You started in the Spirit. You started trusting the arm of the Lord. You started trusting the power of the Spirit. You started out trusting Christ, the power of God. How dare you begin to trust something else added to your faith? He said, did you believe in vain? He says, I'm going to now start praying for you people again, working on you people again until Christ be formed. So you begin to receive him and believe in him again. And let me tell us, just in case you forget, and I want everybody to listen to me. If you are not preaching the gospel, you won't grow spiritually. I'm not kidding you. God has no need of selfish Christians who only come to church to be blessed and to cast out devil and ask for more blessing and for more blessing. And when they don't have it, they get angry with God. God has no use for you. I'm telling you with all the love in my heart. If you want to grow spiritually, you must engage in this, in preaching the gospel. Why should God give you revelation of the gospel when you don't preach it? Tell me why. And that's why we have a lot of carnal Christians who don't understand the power of the gospel. Like Paul understood and said, well, I'm compelled. I have to preach this thing. Because this is it. Wow. This is what I have to do. Why have a lot of carnal? The understanding of the gospel is so low. It's so low. What do you know about the gospel? Jesus died for our sins. That's all. It's a lot more than that. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
If you don't preach the gospel, child of God, your spiritual growth will be stunted. I don't care your title. I'm not kidding you. I don't care your title. Because the scripture says, it says, when you begin to bear fruit, God will what? Manure you. Manure you. But if you are not bearing fruit, even the one you have, taken from you and given to somebody who is bearing fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit that Jesus is waiting for. The precious fruit of the earth. Is that mango? No. It is souls. It is souls of men. He said this gospel must be preached before the time, the end of time comes. That's what Jesus is waiting for. He says he's waiting. He said, I'm waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And if you are not bearing that fruit, I don't need you. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm not waiting for you to get anointed or come and be sharing testimony. It's wonderful. But I'm waiting for one thing. Because I died for all of them. I don't want to lose them because my death was for them. If you are following me, say amen.
Amen.
If you are sleeping, say amen too. You are welcome. Praise the Lord. Look at what the scripture says in 1 Peter 2:2. I have a few more minutes and I'm done. So I'll give you more time for your dancing. Are you following me?
Yes.
1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babes, you must crave. What must I crave? Pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. What is that pure spirit to me? It's the truth. Jesus said, I am what? You must crave the knowledge of Christ. You must. Verse 3. Now that you have tasted the Lord's kindness, his grace and mercy. Now you've tasted it. Crave to know it. Crave to understand it. And you can't understand it when you are not preaching. Brethren, let me tell us something. If I start teaching him about aircraft, before 6 months, I will know more about aircraft than I knew when I started out teaching him. Is that correct? You are not preaching the gospel. What will you know about the gospel? Aren't you going to be carnal? I was telling the workers yesterday, I said, you know, Paul had tremendous revelation why he preached the gospel more than all of them. The more he was preaching, the more God was showing him the mystery of it. The gospel is a mystery. You don't discern Jesus by your intellect knowledge. You can't do that. It's a mystery. I talk with a lot of Christians, they say, I have faith. I don't even know where to start. Because even their language is showing me they're too ignorant. I've been Christians years. I'm sitting there and say, Lord, where do you begin to unwind this thing? It's like wire that is all over the place. And the person doesn't even know it. He doesn't know it. Matthew 21, 42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become what? Head of the kingdom. This is the Lord's doing. The marvelous inner side. You can't build a life unless you build it on that stone, which is the corner stone. That stone is Christ. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, I think 14, so he says, how can they believe in whom they have not what? Heard about. How can your faith grow when you don't know about it? How can? Yet he is the chief corner stone. And we sing it, you are the pillar that holds. You know, one time the Lord said to me, he said, do you know, if you people really believe what you see, he said, you see a lot of the power of God. He said, a lot of that song is good. He said, you don't have revelation. He said, if you people believe what you see, and you sing one of those songs, he said, the power will explode here. Nobody can believe what happened. He said, my power follows faith. But if there's no faith, it's not activated. He said, many of you will dance and enjoy that. Jesus said, this is the rock. This is the thing that carries them. This is it. Carries your life, carries your faith, carries everything. This is it. There's no other foundation. There's no other foundation. Praise the Lord. In front of my house, they were building something. And I said, these people have no money. In fact, sometimes I go in there and be looking at it. These people have lost them. I say, what? Why are they wasting their time here? Every day I see them coming, I see nothing. And then I told Pastor Fashion today, I said, Pastor, either they are poor, or they don't have money, or they don't know what they are doing. One of these things. So, and I was asking people, I said, do you know the people doing this thing in front of my house? Who are they? And I'll go to them and say, what are you people doing here? Do you know, one day I came back from house, I saw the wall, pam, pam, pam. I came back in the evening, the wall had gone up. Every day, I said, what? So all this while, they were laying. And ignorant me was criticizing them. That's why it's not good to shoot your mouth at what you They had to take time to make sure that foundation was what? And it's not every type of concrete you use. That concrete has to be calculated. And I learned now that concrete, some of them you bring, you must pour it within the same few minutes. If it goes beyond 5 minutes, you can't use it again. And the particular attention to details in the foundation, that was what took them all. And ignorant me was judging them and calling them stupid, useless. I said, they don't have money. I said, these people, that, I said, what is, the one that came in front of my house, instead of them building it so my house can value will go up, see what they are doing here. I was concerned about the value of my house than what they did. But now, go there and see. Within a few weeks, four-story decking parking lot that would take 750 cars have been built. But the foundation took longer time. Jesus is the foundation. God himself has what? Laid. You can't build nothing except you build it on the knowledge of Christ. You can't. It's a waste of time. Somebody shout hallelujah here. Look at Matthew 24:14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's talking, when you talk about the kingdom of God, you're talking about the gospel. That's the message of the kingdom of God. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, why? What is happening in James 5, 7? James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited. The husbandman what? Waited for the precious fruit. Precious fruit of it. He's not waiting for mango. He's the husbandman. He's waiting for souls that he died on the cross for. Waiting for precious, for the precious fruit of it. And had long, I'm not finished, go back. I had long patience for it until he received the early and later in. So what happens? Be also patient. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord. What? That's what he's talking about, the coming of the Lord. He's waiting for a precious fruit. And the church is not bringing in the harvest. It's like, I read something, I said I mentioned it here. Somebody was asking, all these dogs that we keep. You know, they keep, I don't know how many of you have dogs. I don't have one. That's where we come from. I don't want to tell you what we do with them. I don't want to tell anybody. Because where I come from, I'm tempted to tell you, but I won't tell you. You're sure, where I come from. I don't want to say it, Mike. It's trying to come out of my mouth. But where I come from. if I would eat. So when you dress them up and bring them to my village, in 1 hour, they're all gone. So they were writing, somebody was asking, all you dog lovers, and yet they kiss you, you kiss them. He said, do they really love you, or do they love the food you give them? So why is it that every time you do something for dog, if dog, a dog does something, you have to reward the dog with food. And I thought, yeah, that's what we do with God. It's for the food. So when God says, how about preaching the gospel? It doesn't show up in our life. But how about fasting to be blessed? We do. Let me tell us something. If you don't have a proper understanding of the gospel, you will not win spiritual battles in life. If most weapons of our warfare, the foundation of it is the gospel. Read your Bible. Talk of shield of faith. How does it come? Faith cometh by what? Hearing about Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So where is your shield of faith coming from? When you don't know the author, you don't hear from the author, you don't understand what he's teaching you. You talk of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was? Who is the word? Christ. The weapon of the preparation of The gospel of peace. Is it not your, it is written? Is it not your, it is written? When the devil attacks you, is it not the gospel you quote back to him and said, it is what? It is written now. You challenge him with what Jesus has done. You go at it and say, no, he did this on the cross for me. You can't change it. All he wants to do is for you to deny the cross. That's his tactic. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I come and I say, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come and say, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All he wants to do is for you to deny the cross, because he knows that if you deny it, you have no other means except that. So he attacks your faith in Christ with challenges and physical things. Your answer, it is written, is the truth that is revealed in the gospel. By his stripes, and here. You go after him. I say, no, you can't touch me. The blood of Jesus has what? Redeemed. I told the woman, I said, we are insured. Ah, boy, you have no idea. We are what?
Sure.
Our insurance is better than Geico. Because God's insurance is on the Christian. He says, if I see the blood, I will pass over. That's an insurance. Totally insured. But instead of speaking it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We say what the devil is doing and we lose. Because we don't understand the gospel. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Brethren, that's the power of God. The only hope of glory is Jesus. In any circumstance of life, your only hope of victory is Jesus. There's no other hope of glory. But we don't know him. We don't preach him. How should we know him? And so we talk the language of the world. When the world talks of diseases, we talk about it like we are the Satan that brought it. Anything the world talks about, if you want to hear it, listen to Christians. They'll frighten you more than... I don't want to say anything. In the early church, I read, they will come to church and they'll have two rows of seats in virtually every church. They call it seeker's row. Nobody will sit there. When you win a soul on Sunday, you come and invite your soul and sit him in the seeker's row. They will fill it up every Sunday, bringing the harvest to the Lord. Every Sunday. Some of us sit here 6 months and have never spoken to anybody, have not even prayed for anybody, to not even mention Jesus' name. Ashamed even of his word. And what was happening in the early church? They had heard that they were doing crusades somewhere. Somebody went and put cyanide enough to clean a city in their drinking water. And they drank it. And they became ill. And one by one, they were laying hands on each other and getting healed. One by one. Real story. One by one. Because the Bible says, pray for one another so that you will be what? Healed. One by one. And then the city went to investigate and found out that somebody has poisoned the source of water with cyanide that wiped out the city just for these people doing their crusade around it. And nobody died of it. They knew in whom they have what? Believed. Their faith was founded on Christ, that solid rock. They were living in power. They were testimonies to the heathens of the risen Christ. It went beyond words to action. They were witnesses. They were witnesses, not by shouting and yelling all night. No, they were witnesses. They were a display of his glory. So I've called you to show forth my what? Glory. So in adversity, my presence is shown that I'm the Lord over all. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up, please?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.